Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
No, she would not watch this movie with me.
Oh, really?
No, God, no.
Alia watched it, and she wound up having an Insta life that was far more interesting than this movie.
What was I going to say?
Who the fuck knows?
Who cares?
Well, no, not who cares, but who knows what's rattling around in that fucking skull of yours.
Yes.
I'm not talking about no Veronica Mars movie.
Is Veronica a true story?
That's kind what of. I was looking at.
Sort of, yeah. I, that's what I was going to kind of talk about, like, more leading into it is.
All right.
Are you ready?
Not much intro for Patreon, but fuck them anyways, am I right?
Well, look at this.
There's not much, much else going on either.
Oh, yeah. Bunch of old men just groaning into a...
Dude, I feel a fucking million years old today.
Oh, yeah. Dude, those fucking hangovers start hitting hard.
And with
hard.
So much less alcohol.
Yes, this is true.
My head has been pounding all weekend.
I used to be a fucking champion.
What did you do?
I went out to American Nightmare.
And oh, that's right. You went on Friday, huh?
But even last night, I had like 3 beers with Alia, and my head was just fucking pounding this morning. Yeah. I felt like I hadn't slept in days.
You got to watch that water intake when you drink.
Yeah.
I almost that's never the big drink one. Water, and that's the problem.
I was pretty good yesterday because I went to sleep. Right before I went to sleep, Friday, right before I went to sleep, I drank like a half liter of Gatorade. And then at like 4 in the morning, I woke up and I was like, should probably drink a little bit more. Yeah, just
start guzzling anything you find in the fridge.
But yeah, I did okay.
You
gotta yesterday.
Say, fuck those electrolytes though, man. You gotta drink like 2 pints of water right pickle before you juice. Go to bed. Pickle juice is good for you too. But
really? Pickle juice?
But yeah, well, no, hold on. That's good to replace things like your salt and shit like that. That's for it might make you feel a little bit better, but that's more for like athletes.
Dehydration.
Well, it's yes, but not. I think not for the
same thing. I figured I pissed out most of my water in my body, so I needed to replace it with anything.
Tapping the seal.
Because that's things like, I mean, yes, sort of dehydration, but like the things that Gatorade and pickle juice replenish is also things like sodium, because you're sweating out like all the, you know, all that
all
stuff.
The salt. So, I think Gatorade has a ton of sodium in it.
It has a ton of sodium. Yeah. A ton of sodium. And that's why I actually don't, because it that can, if you're not dehydrated in that sense, it could actually dehydrate you more.
That's science, fellas.
I know. Like, when I drink Gatorade, I'm just like, God, I want a gallon of water right now. My mouth gets all dry and sticky.
Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 155. This is Jorge.
This is Matt.
This is dehydrated.
This is Chris. I'm feeling like a fucking piece of beef jerky today, man. Fuck.
And what did you do to feel like a piece of beef jerky, George?
So one of my good friends is getting married soon, and we had basically a 2-day bachelor party.
It was a bunch of dudes standing around going, "Don't do it."
No. I'm just kidding. I just told them all not to have any kids, but you know, getting married's the fun part. Yeah. It was essentially like 40 hours of just breakneck drinking, other drugs happening, but I didn't partake because
where did this whole
weak soul?
Where did this whole shebang-a-bang take place?
We rented a house in La Jolla, like a 6-bedroom house. It was like 12 of us, I think, maybe 14.
You all slept in one room.
Yeah, right. We all slept
in the living room.
One bed. No, man, it was gnarly. I'm still trying to like wake up.
Yeah.
Mostly we're good. Mostly.
Is that why the lights are dimmed?
Yep.
Yeah.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And you know, to keep the heat down a bit.
Okay.
No, it's an LED, but whatever.
Right, yeah.
I'm finding that the older I get, I'm having more of those mornings where I wake up and say, why do I do this to myself?
Your mouth feels like a bag of dog shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the worst.
I went to American Nightmare on Friday, and if you don't know, American Nightmare is like a hardcore band from early 2000s. Crazy headache the next day from a hangover.
Nice.
Ringing in my ears until probably about 3
in
the
afternoon. You didn't wear earplugs.
No, I didn't. You know why? Because I was hammered. Yeah, and I still went to the front of the stage.
You're a dumbass.
I am. I am not as old, or I'm not as young as I used to be. I'm definitely as old as I am now.
Older, probably.
Yeah. There is that saying, I feel my age. And the last few times I've had like a serious good drink going on, I wake up and I feel my age.
I feel like N plus one is basically like I feel my age plus a year.
Yeah, that's
always,
accurate.
It's always that, man.
I feel like 85.
You're N plus 40.
Dry, brittle bones. My back has been fucked up for a while.
The gout everywhere.
No gout for a while, thankfully. But yeah.
It's because you stopped eating sheep balls.
I'm on the fast track to the grave, man.
This motherfucker embodies burning it on both ends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then somebody stole in the car. They're like, just take it easy. He just cut the brakes. He's like, fuck that. Just aim
never.
Down. Yeah.
You little bitch. I do what I want.
Don't tell me how to live my life ever again. Clip. Just zoom.
I don't know how to drive stick, but I'll figure it out.
just grinding the transmission, just tearing the shit out of it.
What's that? What movie is that from? Is that Dogma?
Oh. No, that's Jane's on the Bob Strike Back.
Is it Jane's on the Bob Strike Back?
Yeah.
What gear are you in?
Gear?
No, that is Dogma.
Dogma. Yeah,
because they're driving the girl's car to the movie place where they meet up with.
That's such Salma a great
Hayek.
Film, man.
So good.
Oh, so what's up, dudes?
Whole lot of nothing. I try to watch The Strangers, but MoviePass is smarter than I thought.
What happened?
I tried to go, you know, they don't do it at Mission Valley anymore. So Mission Valley had a 12:45, Fashion Valley had a 2:00, and I didn't want to go to the later one. So as I'm driving by Fashion Valley, I check in on my phone as I'm driving on the freeway.
That didn't work.
Well, I thought maybe it would, you know, like, because they would just load my card.
Why don't you just buy another movie and then go into that one?
Because they don't accept it at Mission Valley at all.
No, but I'm saying you were going to Fashion Valley, right?
No, I drove past Fashion Valley to check in.
This is painful. Can you just get on?
Yeah,
try and saying. Buy it. Yeah, so I didn't get.
Hey, look, dude, the synapses are they're getting there. They're
I didn't
getting,
get to see up. It.
But isn't it synapse?
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Pharmaceutical.
It's actually the pharmaceutical bandits.
Wait, no, I'm just saying because you guys kicked me in the dick tip last time for saying synapse.
Oh, yeah.
Why do you think I said it like that? But yeah, you didn't see Strangers.
No.
But you did see a little film called...
Terrifier. I did.
I also saw that movie.
Brought to San Diego by Dread Central Presents.
So, I'm really going to be honest about this movie. And I want to be very clear.
Me too.
I'm going to be very clear that I'm not saying what I'm saying.
You're
because we're affiliated
chill.
With yeah. Dread Central.
Yeah.
But I loved the shit out of this movie. There was some definite... plot holes, but every second that Art the Clown or Art the Mime was on screen, I loved it. It was super graphic and brutal and like really menacing. And I think he does the evil clown thing better than almost anyone I've ever seen.
Wow.
Now, I'm going to say what I'm going to say, despite the fact that we're affiliated with Dread Central. I do like the movie. It was definitely not a waste of my time. I had a lot of fun with it. The one thing I can say about it is it definitely stuck with me afterwards. Like after you see it, like I was thinking about it a lot, like, or at least the feeling I felt when I watched the movie stayed with me like well after I watched it. That being said, and without giving too much away, there are not so much plot holes. There are plot speed bumps that just they shake you.
A little jarring.
Well, it like things happen that like, and I'll say one of the things that the Art the Clown does is just an enormously out of character. One of the and I would say that the thing that happens pretty early on in the movie doesn't resolve itself within the movie to make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Period. Just it's there for absolutely no. They could have. They should have sliced that first part.
Yeah,
just off.
Slice.
Yeah. And then the end does something that I understand why they did it, but I also just thought it
why?
Made me think. Well, it made me think what are you trying to do with right. this? Because gotcha. You kind of took it one way and then you did this at the end because you painted yourself into a corner and you had to.
Yeah, but painted.
Jesus Christ. You grease painted yourself into a corner.
And, yes. Yeah.
You had to do it. I get that, but it also just kind of felt like, well, this is what everyone does,
you
right?
You're so saying some things that should have been left on the cutting room floor.
No, I mean, like I said, it's,
the ending was just
cracking
very...
yourself up over there, man. yeah, I don't know. But that being said, there were some, the gore is, the kills are incredible. Everything is practical effects. One of them is pretty brutal. Borderlines in my and you. Can,
I can't. You can, I can't believe they took it there.
I can't believe they did either. They in more ways there. Than one, because wow. that was. So I don't know how you feel about this, but I was like, yo, that's a little misogynistic. Like,
I did have that feeling throughout the movie, but he killed a lot of dudes too.
So here's the thing. Again, I don't want to be this guy. I'm not trying to go.
I actually laughed
warrior.
During that scene, and I'll tell you why later. So I don't spoil it.
Okay. So the women he kills. Are much more, while more creative, it is more prolonged and he takes more pleasure out of
more
killing
angry.
Them. Now, whereas more like when he kills men, it's more of a,
you're
yeah,
in my
fuck
way.
Off. Get
the,
out of here.
The clown, if I'm not mistaken, it's basically a spin-off series, right? A la The Conjuring.
Yes. Yeah, sort of.
There was a movie called All Hallows Eve and it was an anthology and Art the Clown was one of the short stories.
Yeah.
And so they actually the short story was called Terrifier and they made it into a full length movie, which I think was the best part of All Hallows.
So what I'm gathering it is for an expansion of a short film. It's a pretty good job.
Yeah. And I think that like the acting was pretty good. Definitely like what Matt touched on, the sense of dread throughout the, like there's a scene in a pizza parlor, and that's all I'll say, that I think sets the tone for the film pretty fucking well, and there's no gore or anything like that involved in it, and just that set piece, I was like, yo, this guy's terrifying.
Okay, cool.
And so that dude, I was talking to Uncle Creepy about it, and that guy is actually a mime, so he does this anyway.
Oh, he's got the feel for it already.
Holy shit, dude. And there's one scene, just his movement is so fucking creepy. Where it almost, the best way I can compare it is, you know, in one of the Evil Dead movies where the girl comes up from the grave and she's just walking really like creepy, jerky through the woods. That was kind of his movements, but without CG.
Ah.
And it, like, that really got me. That one scene really got me.
So are we, do we want people to catch this in the theater?
Dude,
is that
this is a hard recommend for me.
Well, and not only catch it in the theater, I recommend if you can to watch it in a theater with like-minded people, because you're going to have a lot like, and they're taking it on tour right now.
And so you can do that with Dread Central Presents.
Yeah. Well, you missed your chance.
In a theater locally to you, maybe.
They just did it on Friday. So unfortunately that's passed, but if you check the website for it, and it's coming to your town, probably there's a whole tour that they're taking it on. If you get a chance to catch it in one of those environments, I highly recommend that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We couldn't make it to the theater showing. Unfortunately, I had this bachelor party.
Veronica had some health stuff
going on, you know, and you had a previous engagement. But I mean, I know Creepy fought tooth and nail to get this thing to come to San Diego. So it looked like they had a very good showing. So
I'm really bummed. I might try and go up on Thursday to Santa Ana to watch it again.
Is that also Dread Central Presents? Okay, good.
I watched it. This is one of the few movies that I've watched back to back. Like it ended, I started it over and watched it again.
And I know we have a couple of listeners up that way. So yeah, definitely go check that out if you're listening.
It's on VOD March 27th.
That showing is tomorrow?
No, Thursday.
Okay, so 15th. We'll try to get this episode out before Thursday so people that are in
It's showing in theaters through the 22nd, I think.
Cool. Well, that was a good little mini review of Terrifier.
There's so much I want to talk about, but I don't want to ruin it.
Right? Because it's not really even out yet, so we can't talk about things. But I gushed about this movie to Creepy for like an hour the other night.
Cool.
Love it. I really love it.
Did you guys watch anything else?
Yeah. No, I didn't.
I watched a couple things. I'll just touch on them briefly because I think we're going to pack a lot into the show, so... Veronica and I last night actually watched Dracula Dead and Loving It. Nice. I forgot how much I liked that movie. It's a Mel Brooks flick, and you know, he did.
Oh gosh, I don't. Young Frankenstein
with Leslie Nielsen, and
I don't believe I've ever seen that.
Give it a watch if you're into Mel Brooks movies, and you know he did he kind of has done in the past. When am I saying the past? This movie came out in like 96, but like he did Young Frankenstein. That was a takeoff of Frankenstein. Obviously he did High Tension, which was kind of a takeoff of like the Hitchcock films. And then he did this, which is obviously I remember it as a kid being real slapsticky and shit like that. And it is, of course, cause it's a Mel Brooks film.
And it's Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm surprised. And you know, he used like half the cast of Robin Hood Men in Tights too.
Leslie Nielsen was half the cast.
No. Mel Brooks. You tell me. Like Maid Marian was Mina in this. I'm surprised now, being an adult watching it, how close they came to the feel of like the old Hammer films, like specifically Dracula with like Christopher Lee and shit like that. Like they really got it really, really well.
Really.
So when I was watching it, it actually made me want. I'm like, I kind of want to go back and just fucking watch Dracula. Like, it's a good flick. I don't know. It's not the best, obviously, but,
are you moving on from that?
But go ahead.
Okay. So to piggyback on your Mel Brooks, I recently made some friends in the last week or two that, are basically the owners of the SDMT, the San Diego Musical Theater.
Oh, sweet.
And they just did auditions for Young Frankenstein. That's going to be happening in September of this year. They just closed auditions, this last week. What's that?
Did you audition?
No.
Not even the technical side?
No.
He's Abby Normal the Brain.
They're not quite that good of friends yet. I'm hoping I'm moving in that direction. They're actually a client of mine. But yeah, from everything I understand,
that's kind of cute. Did you see, like, he's like, well, we're not there yet.
He almost blushed when he talked about it.
I'm kind of hoping.
I hope they like me.
Oh God. Are they going to call?
But anywho, I was thinking about talking to them about maybe doing some sort of sponsorship with us and them, and, you know, talking about maybe get some tickets to the show, but we'll see. But yeah, it's opening September 28th and going a month to October 28th.
Can you just do me a personal favor? If we don't get that, or we don't get something like that, just let me know when it's coming out, because Veronica and I are fucking, like, that's one of her favorite movies.
September 28th.
I'll send you the.
That's what I'm not going to remember that in, you know, 7 months or whatever.
Yeah. Anywho. Yeah. It's they're super nice folks. And, I, you know, hopefully it'll be really, really good. Hopefully they'll be friends of the show.
The other thing the other night I threw on The Road Warrior to go to sleep.
Oh.
Watch the whole. God damn it! I forgot how much I fucking I hadn't seen that
go to sleep.
Huh?
And you couldn't go to sleep.
I couldn't, because the thing is like I hadn't seen that movie since I was a very, very little kid. And as I was watching it, I was like, holy shit! I think this is one of the Betamax movies, and I just kind of like forgot about it. The thing that brought me back was the little kid with the boomerang. My brother and I used to fucking like. Always talk about that kid.
Try to chop each other's heads off.
Yeah, yeah, and the fingers. George Miller is a fucking amazing director. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm going to say about that. Because that movie was made in 81.
And it still holds up.
Yeah, like a motherfucker. That movie looks better than most movies nowadays look.
The cool thing about period pieces like that, well, it's not a period piece per se, but it is an out of time
picture.
It's 81. You know, as long as the effects aren't corny,
yeah,
then that movie will hold up forever.
And they're not. And they're not. And like, and it was such a, like, and Veronica was asleep next to me, so it took every ounce of my energy to, like, that's the only downside about it is because it was made in 81, the sound is a little low in some parts. So I wanted to, like, keep turning it up, and I wanted to be like, fuck yeah, because, like, those movies.
Fuck yeah. Oh, my God, this is fucking amazing. Veronica, it's amazing.
You just need some sweet Bluetooth headphones for bed.
Bluetooth?
Blitz
of audio. That's only my car.
I know. I love it. So anyway, yeah. So there's that. If you now I want to go back and watch fucking Beyond Thunderdome
2. And the follow up to the newest Fury Road.
Get the fuck out.
It's incredible,
dude. We've talked about that. And that's when I was so excited when that movie came out. And here's another thing too is like, what I didn't do when I saw Fury Road was go back and watch all. I take that back. I did go back and watch the first Mad Max, which. Admittedly, I like it, but I don't like it as much as like The Road Warrior. And it's not as batshit crazy as those movies are, in my opinion. But watching The Road Warrior, you see how much connective tissue there really is to, like, Fury Road is beautiful, but it looks like it was only made a few years after the Road Warrior.
It looks, yeah, it looks, I mean? It looks like a fair, like a very well done continuation. It's not, it 100%. Doesn't feel out of place.
Yes.
It, I mean, yeah, it is more bombastic and more over the top, but you know.
You know what else is bombastic? Shaggy.
Shaggy.
So there's that. And then have you guys, I know we all have Shudder. Yes. Have you guys watched that show, The Core?
I have not watched anything on Shudder because Shudder has been very disappointing lately, at least for me.
Oh.
My goodness.
Jesus Christ.
That's just me being catty. I haven't been able to find. I have so many fucking streaming services. I'm like, I want to watch something, and I cannot find a single thing I want to watch.
You just sit on Netflix and search for a movie for an hour and a half.
Yeah. I do kind of feel like I'm like, it's like chasing light because like I'll get one because I'm like, oh, the good movies are here, and then it's like, now Stars has them all, fuck you guys. Yep. I don't want to. So yeah, but anyway, so I did watch the first couple episodes. I was curious because as a I know we all love horror.
The Core.
Yeah.
It's not related to the movie The Core.
No, it's hosted by Mickey Keating.
Really? Yeah. Yes. It's hosted by Mickey Keating, and he kind of just he talked to they did the Halloween episode, so it was like all about the Halloween franchise, which was a fucking amazing. So they had Daniel Harris and Adam Green on to like talk about stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then the second one I saw was actually he had on Flying Lotus, who did Kuso, and they talked about Kuso and all that kind of stuff. But he really gets into the nitty gritty. Like, he talks to filmmakers, but then there's always a segment too where they talk to an effects guy who shows you how they do certain effects in the movie. Like, for a horror movie like nerd like I am, who likes to really dig in and like pull things apart and like learn all this stuff, it scratched an itch that I don't get very often from other things, because you know, like, you have to really, I don't know. Like, you can listen to podcasts and they kind of talk about it, but this is like a TV show that I wished as a teenager I had. So if you guys haven't watched it, and it's hosted by Mickey Keating, who's really cool.
He's got great hair.
He does have great hair. And he's the director. He's the director of like Carnage Park. He did Pod. He's worked with our girl, Lauren, quite a bit.
What's your girl?
Yeah. So yeah, it's really cool. I highly recommend giving it a look-see if you haven't.
Nice.
I started listening to a new podcast. Oh. So now there's two podcasts.
Oh. That you listen to.
The News and this show called Risk.
Okay.
With an exclamation point. I think it's done by the same people who do Mortified, but these are all like fucked up stories that people never thought they would ever tell anybody. You know, and some of them are just like, you know, about like losing your child or something like that. But the first episode I listened to, it's broken into three parts. The first episode was about a guy who's like our age, you know, a little older, and goes to Coachella for the first time, does a bunch of drugs, and then his ass starts bleeding profusely. And since he's on drugs, he's all calm and he calls his mom, and like, he's talking to his mom about his ass bleeding, and she researches it and tells him, but he's just bleeding out the ass at Coachella. So it's kind of fucked up. But then later that episode, this girl tells a story about how like, she had a really fucked up childhood. Like, she would go into the basement and found out that her grandfather had been microwaving rats, and that
how else are you going to kill a rat?
Long story short, in the end, it turns out that her dad had been a cannibal and had actually fed her human meat at one point. And it's pretty wild to listen to. So if you like shows like Mortified or The Moth or something like that, this is like that, but not safe for work.
Mm.
Mm. So quite interesting.
What's it called?
Risk with an exclamation point.
Risk.
So Risk.
Oh, Risk.
Oh, Chris.
anything else?
Yeah, I've got two podcasts to recommend. The first one is called literally just Heaven's Gate.
Mm.
It's a 10-part podcast about the Heaven's Gate cult. Ooh, and it really, so
right now,
last podcast on the left did an episode, like a couple four-parter. Episodes,
yeah,
four-parter. This is that like times three with the amount of info that you get.
Okay.
I found out that, do you know what happened to that house?
No, it's Heaven's still Gate around house? Isn't it?
That's what I thought. But what happened is, after all the Heaven's Gate stuff kind of happened, the neighbors all pitched in to buy the house, and then they leveled it.
Oh.
So it does not exist anymore, but you can go visit the plot of land.
Huh. This one, this 12-episode one?
That's the one. And then the other one is called Cults. It's literally C-U-L-T-S. And it goes basically into any cult that you can think of, they've probably done an episode on it. The one that I'm listening to right now is the sect of Nakozari, about the Santa Muerte killings, the lady who killed the two 10-year-olds back in the mid-2000s, I think it was, somewhere in there. But yeah, really interesting stuff, and both are produced really, really well. So unlike this show. But that's it. That's what I've got for podcasts.
I like it. Cool. Do we have anything else?
I think we're done with news. No, with what we've seen, what we've done. News.
Do we have any news?
Just that Fred Durst is directing a movie.
Starring
John Travolta, about Fred Durst's real life stalker.
I can't wait.
It wasn't. It was like his mom, and she just kept calling the house, and he's like, Fred, I have a stalker.
Fred, why haven't you called your grandmother?
Fred, are you breaking shit? Always, Ma.
Fred, are you like a chainsaw?
Last time I left your house, I left with a fat lip. Wow.
Fucking awful.
Jesus Christ. But yeah, that's it. Unless we've got any last minute.
It's been a very slow news week.
Well, we've come to the point of the show.
I have something.
That's what I was just going to talk about. Right. Where Chris is going to test our metal.
Oh. Well, not your metal. Your 90s alternative. So here it is. And we unfortunately don't have video today. But if you could see inside of George's bedroom or his office,
that'd be weird if we were in your bedroom.
If you could see in my bedroom,
please share the link.
I'd have to charge it.
Here in your bedroom.
There it is.
Put that on the box.
Yeah. So we have this championship belt that we've been trying to figure out what to do with. And I have put together a little trivia that I think is going to volley onto both sides of my co-host here, because what essentially it's going to be is 90s horror, songs that featured prominently in or were created specifically for 90s horror movies.
Okay.
So.
And we're competing for what now?
Who goes there?
Oh.
Championship belt.
Oh, look at that thing.
Yeah.
How expensive was this belt?
$675.
And we've done fuck all with it.
Yes. It sat neatly in a case behind my headboard.
Until today.
Yeah.
So
unless we both fail horribly.
Unless you both fail horribly, and then Chris
becomes champion.
So here's how it's going to work. So I'm going to run down the rules for you right now. So I'm going to play a song. And for about a minute or so, we'll play it, or until you answer.
Do I have to buzz in by going, Matt?
No, yeah. Actually, no. I decided this. Okay. I'll fucking get to it.
Just have to smack our bellies.
you just gotta go gorilla. Yeah, yeah.
You're not far off.
Oh God.
So this is how that's gonna work. I'm going to play a song. We'll play it through like the verse and like maybe the first chorus.
Jesus.
You have three possible points that you can get on each one of these songs. What movie it's from, the name of the band who sings the song or performs the song, and what year the movie was made.
So movie is the most important.
But I was just going to say, so you can't actually answer the latter two unless you answer the first one. So you have to answer what movie it's from, or you cannot answer the other two.
Okay.
Now, if you answer what movie it's from, but you don't know the other two, the other person can steal by saying
steal.
You have to say steal.
Steal.
But if you do that, you have to answer both or you get deducted 1 point.
Oh my God. Whoa. These rules are so brutal.
It's like Jeopardy.
Jesus.
Okay. Now, in order to answer or to buzz in, we're going to take a little cue from a movie we did recently called Mom and Dad.
Uh-huh.
And you have to go, hoo, hoo.
Well, how do we who differently then?
I'm here. I think you enlist. Yeah.
He's binaural.
We can either do that or we can do meat, meat. But I don't know.
I'll go who, and Matt can go meat.
Okay, you okay? Then Matt says meat, and George goes who, who.
All right, that sounds good.
Okay,
so I don't know. And is there a score we have to reach, or it's just whoever's
no,
in
it's
the
just
lead
whoever
at the end.
whoever gets the most. Now here's the thing, if both of you, I have eight songs. If in eight songs, nobody gets a point, or it ends up that you're 0-0 from getting negative points
or
whatever.
What if we're negative?
Steal. if you're negative or both of you have zero or none of you get anything, I get the fucking
belt. You win the belt.
Because I've effectively beat both of you.
All right.
Now, that being said, I was not a dick on this. I really, these should be ones that you guys can get.
Okay.
So I don't think I'm going home with the belt.
Okay.
All right. So let me get my playlist here. I also spent way too much time doing this. I want to tell you.
Let me open my SoundCloud here.
What do you think I have my phone out for, dummy?
All right. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
All right. Here's the first one.
I don't even know the song.
Just wait.
I know the song.
Meat.
Okay.
The Craft?
Incorrect. Negative one.
Can I wait, I get a negative if I'm okay.
Can I attempt a guess? Is it worth it to take a guess? It's not worth it to take a guess, is it? Because if I get
he
it
tries
wrong.
To steal
well, wait. So
can I stay at zero?
If you guess?
No, can I just stay at zero and win? If he's negative?
No. Because if you're negative and he's zero, I still get the belt.
Oh, so I have to have at least a point.
Somebody has to have a point.
Okay, so I'm not gonna guess then.
Do we do negative points if you get it wrong?
Yes.
Okay, then let's do that.
He says that now that I have a negative point.
Yeah.
Let me redo this really fast here. Then
he's gonna do
what's that show? Whose Line Is It Anyway? You guys, 1 million points.
Negative 300 points.
All right.
Are you gonna keep playing it to see if George wants to hear it or?
I can play it up to the minute if you want it. Like,
yeah, give me a little more info. Right, yeah, I'll
maybe you'll know. Because here's the thing, too. I think you prematurely shot your load there, buddy. I think if you listen to the lyrics,
the craft.
First of all, yeah, okay, not that far off. But. Let me actually.
It's not the song I thought it was.
So
either.
Far, this is generic '90s riff.
True. Let me scoot ahead.
No, this is the song I thought it was.
Here we go.
Oh no, this isn't the song I thought it was.
Very popular 90s film.
I have no idea.
I have no idea what song this is, and much less what.
Yeah, movie I thought that was that. I'm standing on a rooftop shouting, "Baby,
same band.
I'm ready." Okay,
that's same
Luscious,
band.
Luscious Jackson.
That is Republica.
Oh.
And the song is from and was featured in, and actually their music video featured clips from Scream.
I thought it was The Craft for sure. Like it seemed like an opening intro song.
All right, that's all you get, Instagram. If you want more, listen to the episode, stupid.
All right.
Damn it. I'm off to a bad start.
Give me 1 second here. All right. So far, not good.
Okay. All right.
I'm a little nervous.
I'm just shaking out the yips now.
Yeah, I was going to say, I got to be honest. I'm a little nervous now because I thought that was,
that was the easy one.
Oh, shit. Oh, that was the easy one. Fuck.
Well, we'll see. Okay. Are you guys ready for the second one?
From the rooftop, shout it out. Baby, I'm ready to go.
The second one.
The feeling that I'm getting is that only electronic music was put into horror films
in the 90s.
Yeah,
late 90s it became all new metal.
Was a lot. There was a lot of it.
I don't even know this song.
Here, let me scoot ahead.
Oh!
You got it? Here, I'm gonna scoot ahead a little bit.
I need some words.
Yeah, it's all the same.
I'm trying to get there. Here we go. Hold on.
This is terrible.
It's not good. George's got it.
Yeah, I know the song. I know the song. Yeah, I know the song. I know the song.
I knew you fucking would.
I know the song. I just don't know what.
I don't know the song.
Okay,
at all.
Okay. Woo!
So that's it.
I'm going in. I'm going in.
You're going in?
I'm going in deep.
Okay, what's the movie?
Something he's never said before.
I forget if this is a 90s movie and it's going to kill
me. No, it is a 90s. These are all 90s movies.
No, the movie that I'm thinking of.
Okay.
8mm.
Nope.
Fuck.
It's not a. Is that a horror movie?
It is very much so. Yeah,
guess if you consider Seven a horror movie,
it's got a goddamn snuff film in it. Yeah, it's a horror film.
Matt,
I have no fuck. I don't even know that.
-1 to -2. Chris gonna take this
note. He might. I did not think that this was gonna be that hard.
What, who was that?
So that was Stabbing Westward. It's a song called Save Yourself, featured in Urban Legend.
Damn it!
I've seen Urban Legend. No, multiple you need to.
Of course you have. I have.
God damn it.
Whew. Daniel Ooh. Harris is a hot goss girl. I can't even fucking talk.
It's going to get harder than this.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You know what? Shit. Should I bounce around? Because this next one, I know you guys will know the song. I don't
let
know
me
if
find
you'll
a Smash
fuck
Mouth
this.
Song.
I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this
just
one.
Do it. Just do it, Chris.
I'm going to do this one.
Make us look dumb.
Okay.
Dumber.
Okay. Are you ready?
Flagpole Sitta.
Meat. Idle Hands.
Meat.
You know this.
Okay.
God.
It's a very 90s.
I can't think
it's a very 90s horror movie.
It's Elijah Wood. It's Famke Janssen. It's
wrong. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's not that one.
It's not the one I'm thinking of?
I don't think so.
You know what I'm thinking about?
I do.
And it's not that one?
Wait a minute. Maybe you're right. Hold on.
Maybe
you're no, because right. Now I'm getting two movies confused. Hold on.
It's
Hold on.
John Stewart. It's.
Yeah, you're wrong.
You're thinking of the Faculty.
I was thinking of the Faculty.
That's what I thought too. But then I was like, shit. Wait, were they in that movie?
Bro, we are gonna lose so bad.
No.
I already guessed. I was wrong.
Yeah, I haven't.
He guessed the Faculty.
Have I guessed though?
No, you didn't guess. You said Elijah Wood, and then I shut you down.
I still think that counts as wrong.
Well, how about this? In 3 seconds, can you get what it is?
No.
Okay. Jesus fucking
Christ.
Well,
that song was in everything though. Like
pretty much. It featured. I think it was actually in the trailer for this, and it might have actually been in the opening credits.
God, I can't even think.
I can't remember 100%. But it's obviously Flagpole Sitta by Harvey Danger. It was in Disturbing Behavior.
I don't even remember.
Oh,
that movie.
That's such a good movie.
Oh, that's the one with Katie Holmes, right?
It is the one with Katie Holmes with the brain implants.
I know all of these goddamn movies.
I'm not sick, but I'm not well. It featured pretty heavily in the
Well,
movie.
See, once you mention the movie, like the memories start flooding back.
Fuck me. All right.
No, this is good. Hey, you're winning, dude.
Okay. I'm gonna skip ahead because this next one, one was the deep cut. So this one's going to be. I'm gonna lob
like the one we know.
I'm going to lob a softball at you guys. Okay.
Oh God.
We still got to work our way back up from -2.
If one of you doesn't get this, we should just shut this shit down.
And you win.
Yeah.
But all right.
Good
ready?
For you.
You guys ready? Good for you.
Okay. I know the band. I know the song.
Pre sellout offering. That should be enough. If you're gonna get it. Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna. God, I feel so bad for you guys.
Don't feel bad. Don't feel bad.
Do you guys want a hint? It's not a big.
It's not. It doesn't matter because no matter what, we lose.
If we get this one wrong, we lose.
Actually,
this is the fourth round. We have
You guys are only on the third one. No, that's not true.
That's the fourth one. So if we get the next one wrong, there's no coming back, and Chris wins. But we would have to get like.
And to be fair, he hasn't made it super difficult. Like these are easy. Like it's not like, yeah, no. Let's do. Are you gonna take a guess?
I mean, I kind of have to. Okay, wait, so that would be...
I'm going to steal one of his picks and just say Idle Hands.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Well, first, buzz in.
Yeah!
That's his.
That's mine.
Woo! Okay.
Idle Hands.
That is correct.
Now... I thought about guessing that again, too.
Do you want to go at the other two?
Well, the band is obviously Offspring.
Okay, so that's 2 points.
And the song, if I'm not
mistaken... No. It's what year?
What year? Okay, so it's off of Ignition. I know that. Working backwards, Smash was 90.
Now, keep in mind, if you get this wrong, that's minus a point.
Okay, yeah, it zeroes out, yeah. So,
well, no, you have two right now.
Yeah.
So you'd be one.
So, just to see. Let's see. Smashes 94.
So you both have negative
two. I'm going to go 92
for the year.
So, nope.
What year was it?
99. The movie was 99. It's the year of the movie, not the song.
The year of the movie, not the song. God damn it, I fucked that up.
It's okay. You still got... You're still at negative one, whereas Matt's negative two.
All right. Hey,
so at least I didn't guess.
Now, okay, so since I got you guys on the... I feel like we're at least making some progress here. I'm going to play the next song.
I just keep cycling through all the super popular 90s movies, and I can't remember like any of the songs from them.
Now, this one... You guys better fucking get this.
To be fair, we're doing okay.
You're doing all right. You're doing all right. Okay. And actually, no, because I did that one out of sync, but this one...
Oh, my God.
It's at least in line.
We're the worst.
It's at least in line. Are you guys ready?
All right.
Yes.
Now, I want...
It's another
Offspring song. No, I want to say, woo! Okay. I want to say The Faculty again.
That is correct.
Yes!
Okay. So you got that. What's the name of the band?
It's definitely The Offspring.
Okay. Do you want to take a guess as to what year?
This is the year of the movie.
The year that the movie came out. Remember, if you have two points right now. If you fuck this up, you get one removed, and then you're at zero.
Can I steal the year?
Wait.
Because right now you have 2 points, which will put you at positive one.
So can I stop?
You can totally stop.
I'm stopped.
No, because you have to do both.
I'm stopped.
Is it 96?
No, that is incorrect.
No, okay. Can I guess? Even though this, since I've stopped, since he's
you
already
get a point. But you
I know.
Guessed. Yeah.
It's 98.
That is correct.
Yeah.
So you have 1 point.
God damn it!
Well, at least we're in the positive, guys.
One of us is anyway.
Now let's go back down the rabbit hole.
You know what my strategy is now, baby?
It's just guessing the movies I've already guessed.
I ain't gonna say shit.
Okay. Now, you know what? I think I'm gonna lob another softball at you because we have three more. We have three left.
One, two, feeling three, good. Four, feeling five. Good.
Yeah. Is that right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
This is the worst.
No, it's the best now.
Come on, wait. 1, 2, 3. Yeah. So we have three left.
Okay. Okay.
I'm gonna lob. No, fuck that. I'm gonna go with the hard one.
Oh.
I'm gonna go with the hard one because
that's what she said.
Because I would be surprised. I didn't know this song, but I don't know what you guys know.
So, sped up version of Faith.
Yep.
Okay, so it would be nice. No idea the song, no idea the movie. This is all yours.
I think I know the artist.
If you know the artist, I almost want to give you a fucking point just for that.
But he's not going to because that's
not
the rules.
Going to. Jeff, know the movie.
I have no idea.
Okay, it's a song called "Hush" by Kula Shaker.
Oh no, I was going to guess Red Hot Chili Peppers. God,
from "I Know What You Did Last Summer."
Okay,
I was nowhere even near. I know what you did last summer.
That's okay. Nobody guessed, so you're still at one and negative two.
This is terrible.
Do you guys want to keep going?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I need to beat George.
You ain't going to beat me, motherfucker.
I just need one. I need one good one.
No, now this one.
If I get one good one, I get all three points.
Yeah. Now I was shackled. I couldn't find the remix of this song, so I'm gonna give you guys that hint right now. The song I'm about to play in the movie, it is a remix of this song, but you should still get it. Okay.
We should have still gotten all of these.
All right, are you ready?
Yeah.
Fucking utter silence is deafening.
Yeah. This needs to...
Hold on. Can't let me move ahead.
She fucking hates me.
You have... Mia!
American Werewolf in Paris.
That is correct. Do you know who the band
is? That's Bush.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's 1997.
Let me just double check.
That is so.
If you get that,
right.
you're tied.
That is so right.
American werewolf.
Dude, good pool.
Seriously.
Oh, I knew it. Yeah.
And that is correct.
Well done.
Shit, dude. So you guys are both at positive.
That was literally.
Holy shit, you guys are tied.
That was literally the one I was waiting for the entire time.
Hey, at least.
You knew I was going to throw that in.
So my girlfriend in ninth grade was obsessed with that movie. And like, I ditched school one day to ride to 91X to get tickets to the movie and like the CD.
Did it
and
work?
The sound. Fuck yeah, it worked.
All right.
Awesome. You know what I mean when I say, did it work?
Fuck yeah.
We all know what you mean when you said, did it work? Now, this one here is a fucking softball. So this is really going to, bring it home.
Wait, so this is the last one.
This is the last
one.
And it's tied.
So no matter.
You guys, if you guys don't get this within the first two fucking notes, I don't know you. Okay. You ready?
Yikes.
Are you fucking ready?
Yep.
Meow.
The Crow, Stone Temple Pilots, 1994.
That's it.
Wow.
Fuck you.
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
With give me this shit.
4-1 now.
Within two questions.
Dude, now.
I'm impressed.
I've earned this.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have a fucking heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
Matt Smith.
That song is literally the first song I ever drove to.
Well done.
Did you drive faster in your car?
No. I actually drove very slow. But I was driving farther than just where we are.
Jesus.
Dude, good job,
that
you guys.
That was great, man.
Oh, man. You were. It's like you scripted it that way to save those two for the end.
I had them set up in a certain way, but I had to make some adjustments in the middle because I was like, "Holy shit, this is getting fucking rough."
Dude, so. If we had lost that negative point, I would have been so pissed off.
I would have been kind of disappointed in you guys because, like I said, there's a couple of those that yes were deep cuts, but a lot of those are like, "Come on,
yeah,
we should know these." Because at least three of those, like the Bush one. They had the video.
Bush was huge. That song was huge.
But that the video for that song, what had cuts? They made two versions, and they did this a lot in the 90s. They did this with Republica too. They would make a video for the band, and then they would make a video for the movie
where they would
intersplice the scenes from the movie into it. And they did that with Bush's Mouth, and then they did that with Republica, Drop Dead Gorgeous. And then I think
I didn't have to know the song name. I forgot.
Yeah, that's fine.
Bush.
Do you know the name of that song though? The Stone Temple Pilots one?
That's Big Empty.
All right. So with Big Empty, I don't know if they ever made a band one, but they made a video.
Yeah, I think it was just all them performing acoustic.
Maybe.
Like kind of one of those Unplugged in New York.
Do you guys remember when Soundgarden came out with Pretty Noose?
Yep.
They had a video for it, and then
they changed the whole thing.
They changed the whole thing because of some controversial bullshit that happened in the video, and it was just like the band playing in like a room with strippers or some shit like that.
I remember they had two for Black Hole Sun too. They had the one where the faces contort and then the one where they don't.
Yeah.
Make it less scary.
That's such a good video.
That is shit was creepy.
All right, well, dude, that was fun.
Good job.
That was really that was really fun. I'm glad we didn't totally
right?
shit the bed. Jesus Christ.
Well, and also, and I'm not saying this in a dickish way. The fact that you both were like negative points for a little while and you came back to positive.
You were super bummed.
Well, no. I'm saying that you did good because if you were negative and you both came up to have positive, you both ended in the black. So that's good.
Yeah. But dude, two back to back 100%ers. Damn, son.
Yeah. Those were literally my two aces in the hole. Like I didn't even realize that the Crow one was like an ace in the hole until I heard it. And I'm like, I got a connection with that.
You jumped on that one quick.
Well, I said if you guys know, if one of you doesn't get this within the first two notes,
that opening slide is like
it's iconic,
unmissable.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a good spot to take a break. we're gonna take a quick break, and we'll be back shortly. We're gonna be recording some extra Patreon content right now. Yay! We'll be right back. Bye.
Carry him like a six pack.
Well, that was fun.
That was fun.
Hey, we're back.
And I'm champ.
You are. Hey, look, dude.
Huzzah.
Hats off to you.
Now we just need to think of all the awesome things I get for being champion.
We have finally used that belt once.
Yeah. A year and a half.
It only took Chris actually doing something for that. Because you and I weren't going to fucking do it. We were so fucking lazy.
Just like, oh, guys, come on. Tell me what you want to do. Nothing? Okay.
Okay, nothing?
I bought the belt.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have to think of what to do with it.
So the film that we're going to be talking about, the Who Goes There podcast crew watched 2018, 2017, whatever part of the country you're in, Veronica. Directed by Paco Plaza, written by Fernando Navarro and Paco Plaza, starring Sandra Escasena, or actually it's from Spain. So it'd be like Sandra Ezcacena.
That's right.
Bruna González. Claudia Placer. You know, that's how that would
read. I had a good time with that.
That's how that would go.
Wasn't it her sister's name like Elisa or something like that? And she's like, Aletha.
Aletha? Yeah, dude. Lucia.
Lucia.
There you go.
Jesus Rotha. Christ. I cannot stand that accent. It drives me up the fucking wall.
Aww, I was listening to, I had a little 2-minute podcast, Coffee Break Spanish that I was listening to, but they taught you that way. So one of the first words they taught you was gracias. And
gracias.
The guy's like, gracias. And I'm like, does he have a lisp or is he just Spanish? Doing?
No, man, that's castellano for you, dude.
The only thing that I hate is when you say like, oh yeah, we're going to go to Ibiza, and people go, is Ibiza? Ibiza? Yeah.
Ibiza?
Ibiza?
Are you actually saying a word there? So anywho, yeah, directed by Paco Plaza, who also did the Wreck series. So that should sort of kind of...
Wreck them down here, kill them.
That should sort of indicate as the caliber of this filmmaker, especially for Wreck 1 and Wreck 2, Wreck 3. I don't know. That was kind of a, you know, that was kind of a fucking weird movie, but okay. Whatever.
I don't know what voice that was, but I love it.
You see the fourth one on the cruise ship?
Yes, dude. Although you see the third one is more bonkers than the cruise ship.
Is it?
The wedding one? Oh.
Did you see the fifth one in space?
Wreck, but in space.
Wait, sorry, in space.
In space. Matt, what'd you think of Veronica?
I didn't like it at all. I was so fucking bored.
You were bored.
I think the thing with paranormal movies is you have to do them really, really well, or it just doesn't hit. And I thought this one had very little tension. I didn't care about anything. And then when I found out it was just because she didn't say it, to spoil it.
Wait, don't do spoilers.
Okay.
Not yet.
No, sir.
We'll get to a point and we can talk about spoilers.
Okay.
Chris Franco, what'd you think of Veronica?
I had a pretty good time with it.
The movie, not your wife.
Hi-yo.
Hey-yo. I liked it quite a bit. It has its detractions, but overall, I thought it was pretty good. I think mostly because of the human element. There was a lot of that I liked. I know I see you smoldering over there. I liked.
That's just my look.
Smoldering.
Yeah.
Did you ever say that to me again?
I liked the dynamic between her and her siblings. I liked the mom's role in it. I just liked the whole setup of it. It felt very real to me. I liked it.
Okay. Good. I kind of feel in the same sort of the same camp. I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. There are some glaring issues.
Yes.
But I don't think that they're bad enough to make it an unpleasurable experience. What you said about the family dynamic, like, I believe it. Like, yeah, I believe that 14-year-old sister taking care of her, you know, siblings, and the mom has to work because the dad is gone and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. And I mean, like, and that's the first thing I'm going to touch on because I don't want to spend too much time talking about it later, but like, and I took a couple of notes, and the very first note is, I love the sisters, the two little girls,
the twins.
Yeah, yeah. Man, fuck. Like that scene where they're doing the pageant. First of all, it was hilarious because she's like, and here she is, Miss Madrid. These are all subtitles, by the way, but she's like, she's a firefighter, a nurse, a policeman, and this, but she has a secret, gentlemen. She's also a cyborg. And she's, you know, I loved that whole thing. I thought it was really, really cool.
Yeah, they were very believable kids. Yeah. And
they were kids.
I loved the little brother to death.
Yeah,
that kid is so adorable. Mm-hmm. He's like the new Dustin.
Yeah. I won't pee the bed
except
anymore.
Much, much younger.
And much toothier.
And much cross-eyed. Much more cross-eyed.
Much more cross-eyed.
It could have just been the glasses, those giant Coke bottle glasses.
He did. He had some. Although, you know, I gotta, you know, for we can get this part out of the way. Like, they are a fairly well-to-do family, you know, in terms of like Latin American countries, because the daughter had braces. The kid, you know, the kids were looked very well taken care of.
Well, her mom owns a bar.
They own a bar. Yeah. So, yeah. What specifically didn't you like about it, Matt?
It wasn't that I didn't like something. It was just that there was nothing that I did like. There was nothing that stood out about this movie to me that was just good. I honestly just sat there the whole time like this, my face resting on my hand, just staring at it. In between.
Whapping it away.
In between Alia showing me random GIFs on her phone.
Yikes.
I mean, so to lend you some credence, I sort of felt the same way in the first half hour. Okay. It was a little slow. I didn't really know where it was going. It felt like on the one point I looked at it. It's an hour and 45 minutes.
It's long.
I looked at the time and I was like, Jesus, there's an hour left in this movie and nothing's happened. That being said, at some point, much like demons tend to do, it crept on me. Like it got me at a certain point where I realized, oh shit, I actually do care about these characters. I do kind of care about what's happening now. I did a little bit of phone checking in the first part of it. And then after that, I put my phone down and I didn't really check out the rest of the movie.
I think we can't go. I was thinking about it. I don't think we can go much farther without spoilers. So yeah, if you haven't seen the movie, two out of three of us recommend it. And at least Matt isn't.
I didn't dislike it. I was.
Yeah. I mean, that's actually pretty good. So considering. But from here on forward, it's going to be spoilers because I don't think we can really talk about the themes or anything without, you know, really getting to the meat of it.
Now, how terrible the demon was.
Okay. So that being said, if you are listening to this and you're going to shut it off because you don't want to get spoiled, watch the movie and then come back. Cause I'm kind of curious to see if after you listen to our conversation, if you feel the same way, and then hit us up on social media and let us know.
Yeah. It starts off basically the whole, and this is the thing. This is one of my quibbles with it. The goddamn Ouija board. I'm so over the Ouija board in movies, man. Using it as a crutch now is so boring. And you know exactly what's coming the moment you see it. You're like, oh, okay. Well, they're gonna fucking mess with the Ouija board. And all heck's gonna break loose, and I wish they would have gone another avenue with it.
To play devil's advocate, I totally get your point. I totally get that, right? But isn't that a little bit like saying, okay, we've all seen a knife used to stab somebody. Every time you see someone with a knife, you kind of know where that's gonna go.
Yeah, but this movie kind of like hit on all of the possession exorcism tropes. There was nothing in this that was, it's like, okay, there's the Ouija board. And then we start seeing just like shapes moving and then objects move across the room and then it makes its way in and then it's gone and then it's not gone. And there's some stupid way you get rid of it. And this was the stupidest fucking way to get rid of it. Like, but I've never seen an exorcism movie where I'm like, really, you just needed to say goodbye to the thing.
But that's not what happened.
That's what she thought she meant. It was because she didn't use a real personal effect, right?
No, it was because first there's a couple things if we want to jump right to the very end. The first one is that when she was telling her brother to draw the protection symbols on the wall,
the brother
switched the page and actually drew the invocation. He was an invoking little motherfucker.
Well, he still drew the correct one.
He did, but he also drew an invocation symbol, which right there allows the spirit to come into your house.
That was a complicated symbol. There's no way that kid got that right.
You don't know his drawing style,
maybe he's
Matt. Don't put that on that little boy.
It was just scribbling all over the wall.
Maybe he's got photographic memory. Don't be an asshole.
Don't assume his artistic ability.
Yeah. Don't assume his gender. He's too young.
Don't assume his anything.
I did think one of the little just don't girls assume was a little boy.
Make an ass out of you and me.
Yeah.
So there was that. The other thing too was that the nun told her, "You open the door, you have to close it." And she said, "Oh, so with the board?" And she goes, "No. What the spirit came through, and the spirit came through her, like her blood dropping, all that kind of stuff." Mm-hmm. Like she was essentially the door that opened. So when she said you have to shut that door, that's what she meant. She said, fucking, you gotta off yourself. Which is
that's the feeling that I got was that the nun wasn't necessarily saying use the Ouija board.
Yeah,
Well, because she said you had to make right what you did wrong.
Right, and because she didn't close it out though. But even at that point, I'm wondering if that would have mattered because of that's something that we don't really get a lot in the movie. You know what I mean? Would it have mattered?
And you know what? Also, the other thing too is that why even toss in the little invocation symbol? Because the demon's already there at that point, or is it just going to be more there?
So maybe that's the thing. Is maybe he opened a new gateway and let something else in? So just saying goodbye to it.
Well, the nun was saying that there were multiple things following her. It wasn't just the one. We're jumping around.
Yeah. Sorry, and I don't mean to cut you off. Should we do like a little bit of a run through of the movie?
Yeah,
like,
go ahead. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
We'll make it really quick, but essentially it's her and her two friends, her and her two friends are using a Ouija board during a solar eclipse, which that part of it I loved. I loved that whole thing. But so they're using it to contact ones they love. In the movie, Veronica's father had died, and she's using it to contact him. And then their other friend is using it to contact her boyfriend who died in a motorcycle accident.
Yeah.
So they do this, and then in the middle of it, you know, shit happens. The glass that they're using as a planchette shatters.
Cuts
Veronica's hand, and she bleeds all over the Ouija board. And then she kind of goes into a trance. Her friend leans down, and this, because this is important, her friend leans down and she whispers something into her ear. And then ever since then, she's, you know, supernatural shit starts happening. Her friend distances herself from her. She's got to take care of her siblings because her mom's always at the fucking bar that she owns. She starts trying to look into it. She talks, the blind nun, after they do the Ouija board thing, is like staring at her and takes an interest in her. And she finds out later that, you know, she opened a door. She needs to close it because now the demon's not just fucking with her. It's fucking with her siblings. She's trying to protect them. She finds out later, cause she like goes to her friend's house and like, which I don't know. I guess we can talk about that more when we talk about the movie, but that's essentially it.
Yeah.
That's kind of what kicks everything off.
Yeah. And so, I think the nun tells her that there's multiple things following.
Yeah, because she says, "You all stop moving.
All of you stop moving." Yeah.
I really liked what do they call her? Sister Death.
Sister Death.
I loved her. Yeah. I thought her whole characterization of a nun who's kind of misunderstood, who has seen some shit, for lack of a better word, was really well done. There are times when you watch a foreign movie that like you can kind of see the bad acting even through the, you know, the different language. She's fantastic. I loved every moment when she was on screen.
She reminded me of a creepier version of Moana's grandmother. if anyone's seen Moana. because like when the other nun comes down, she's like, "What are you doing with her? You know she's not well," and blah blah blah. And the nun's like, "Fuck you, bitch. Suddenly I'm she's fucking having a grit."
Yeah.
And I see shit. You don't fucking know me.
Like, but, well, I also got the feeling that she's sort of hiding in plain sight because she does act feeble around the other nun, but she is kind of a badass.
She's a total badass.
So I really enjoyed her character. I liked Veronica, although kind of a whiny little kid.
A big ass mouth.
Sure.
Big old mouth.
Sure, but I don't know. I still thought like I enjoyed her acting. I actually think everyone in this movie did a really good job.
Yeah.
Like the kids were fantastic. The kids were my favorite part. The nun was great. I don't like her friends. Rosa and Diana.
Diana.
Rosa's a pinche puta.
Wow.
And Diana, that chick is a dick. That fucking chick sucks.
Yeah.
Straight up. Fuck that chick. She's an asshole. Sorry, I don't like her. I hated her because she was like
friend stealing ass.
Dude, seriously, that scene where like she comes up and she goes, "We're having a fucking party," and sorry, but this is all in Spanish though.
But it's
well, it, translate.
But yeah. in that accent,
in
though,
that you accent, can, you we're having a fucking party, and you know, at Rosa's house, and you know, whatever. And she goes, "How come you?" And this was a heartbreaking scene too, because I think we've all been like, I don't know if you guys remember, like back in like elementary school, like I had like two friends, and some weeks like me and one of the other ones were like best friends, but then some weeks like those two were best friends, and you always kind of felt like you got to like inched out a little bit. And she looks at her and she goes, "How come you didn't tell me before?" And she goes, "She's telling you now." And it's like,
"Oh, shut up, bitch."
Yeah.
I hate your guts.
Yeah. I hate you. Yeah.
Let's talk about, since you mentioned it earlier, you did not like the demon.
No, it was a guy in a black bodysuit. That's all it was. I thought they could have done a lot better, even just made it more shadowy. But like when the fact that they even showed the guy when he comes out of, the CG mattress.
Mm-hmm.
It was really just a guy in a black bodysuit. That's all it was.
I didn't mind it so much. I thought it was genuinely creepy when
really?
Yeah, when they were sort of doing the sort of build up to him, her, it. I don't assume it's species. Gender. I guess. I don't know. I got the general spine tinglies at a couple times.
And actually, I almost feel like we have to stop saying demon, because when she's talking to the nun, she says, what does she say? She says something like a demon, like from the Bible. She goes, "No, he has nothing." She says, nothing to do with the Bible. Don't bring
nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
Cause she said, amulets and crosses don't work. And she's like, "This has nothing to do with God. Don't bring him into this."
Yeah. So it's almost like is it a demon? Well, maybe not a demon in the traditional sense, but some dark force, for sure.
But what then?
I don't know.
Well, and also why, I mean, so obviously this isn't, I have given thought to whether or not this is technically in the same universe as Wreck, because in Wreck,
you were going to say in the same universe as Cloverfield.
Multiverse, bitch.
Multiverse. Yeah.
Because, you know, in Wreck 2, you kind of find out that it's sort of a spiritual thing that's happening as opposed to just like a virus type thing. And so I wonder if it's not in the same, at least in the director's head, it's not in the same universe.
Hmm. That's interesting. That's fucking interesting, man.
Well.
Well, I feel like we can't really continue without talking about this at least a little bit. So this movie is supposed to be based on a true story, or it is based on a true story.
Right.
This for at least it was reported as being true. So it's based off of a case of a girl. Her name isn't Veronica, though. It's Estefania Gutierrez Lazaro.
Because they couldn't call a movie Estefania.
I don't know. I think that's a pretty kick-ass name.
You think people would watch it? It would go over well if it was called Estefania?
Maybe.
I mean, shit, people can't get Veronica right, so I don't know if it'd be any better. And I mean that seriously. No one has ever been, like, no one's ever met my wife, and the next time they see her go, Veronica, they always go, Victoria, or Vanessa. They can't fucking get her name right to save the goddamn lives. There are a few differences, though. Estefania's father.
You can't even get it right.
I can't do it, yeah. Estefania's father was not dead. He was very much alive. But she did do a Ouija board session with her two friends, and one of her friends did have a boyfriend who died in a motorcycle accident, so that's all true. She did look after her brothers and sisters quite a bit. The difference really between the real story, and by the way, this was reported by a policeman in Spain.
Yeah, I think I read something where it's the only police report ever that the police officer literally used the words that it's a paranormal incident. Yes. He couldn't come up with any other solution for it.
Yeah, any explanation. Actually, I think he said, like, inexplicable events.
Yeah.
But the weird thing between real life and this movie is all the paranormal shit in the movie happened before, I guess we'll have to spoil this, though, too, before Veronica's death. In the real world, Estefania, like, there was shit that was happening to her, but when she died, and which she eventually did, so what happened is, like, a nun really did interrupt them, and then I guess when the planchette broke, her friends and the nun saw smoke going to Estefania's mouth and nose. After that, her health started declining. She was starting to have seizures. She said that she heard people talking, that she saw people walking around. And then one day they went to the doctor. The doctor couldn't find anything wrong with her. And then one day she just fucking died. And after that is when things started getting fucky for the Lazaro family. The doors would slam on their own. A picture mirrors what happens kind of at the end of this movie. A picture of Estefania burst into flames and fell off the counter, but the frame didn't burn and the glass didn't burn. It was just the picture inside of it. Things like that. They would hear disembodied voices throughout the house. They said that their son, when he was in Estefania's room, would be picked up from one bed and thrown to the other. So they actually called the cops to come in. The detective who went in experienced a bunch of this shit. And the stuff that they say at the very end of this movie, where it kind of, like, does the, you know, the word over, I guess those pictures, by the way, are real pictures from the Lazaro house.
Yeah, that's correct.
And you can kind of see, too, because the way they stylistically put, like, the stain on the mattresses in the movie, the mattress of that they're showing at the end is just like a black spot.
Black blob.
Yeah, there's no stylistic to it. It's just,
And so that was true. Like the two officers went in, and then, like, after a while, they started feeling nauseous, and they're like, I have to get the fuck out of here, and they just left. And then the detective who actually stayed, like, he experienced a bunch of the stuff that they talked about, put it in his report, and then I guess, like, 2 weeks after that, he, like, peaced out, and, like, he just...
Yeah, I think the other two officers, too, right? They all retired. Yeah, I mean, this is one of those, it's one of those things that's where... That's
way more interesting than the actual movie.
That's what I was going to say. Like, I think if it had been a little more true to the actual story, would have been a little bit more effective. Because genuinely, one of my favorite scenes, big dick warning, the scene when the dad is kind of calling to her.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Dude, That got me real good.
Yeah.
When he's coming out and he's naked and he's kind of coming at her, I go, oh, Jesus.
Could you see his dong?
Oh, boy.
Right. We get a bunch of glare on the TV, so in dark scenes, I don't get to see very much.
Yeah, I had to watch it in the office, so I had a little bit of a glare.
Yeah, it's...
The one part that got me, and before I'd heard anything about this movie, I heard that people were turning it off halfway through because it was just so scary.
Hate that stuff. Yeah.
Right, but I think... The one scene that got me might be where people were turning it off, and that's the scene where she was trying to eat, and because she put the fork in her mouth, and I swear I just heard the noise of a fork grinding against teeth, and it sent chills like through my brain, down my spine, like those kind of like nail on a chalkboard kind of things. And I wonder if that's not what made people turn it off, is they got the weird feeling just from like associating the sound.
Yeah, maybe her crunching down on that fork or something.
Yeah, but other than that, like there was nothing crazy in this movie.
Did anyone else, whenever the hands came up and grabbed her from the bed, did anyone else think, oh, it's Zool?
Oh, things are going to be okay.
Well, because I
there is no Estefania.
Yeah, no Estefania. Oh, Zool. It's Zool.
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 Good God.
Because I just immediately thought of Dana Barrett sitting in her fucking recliner and then the hands coming out and grabbing her and pulling her into the closet. Remember that?
Remember.
Yeah, remember.
And I did kind of, I liked at the very end when she's trying to rush the kids out of, when she tries to recreate the seance with the two sisters.
Which to me was like, girl, what the fuck are you doing?
She was trying to close the door. Desperate. She was trying to say goodbye. Yeah, she was trying to say goodbye. I kind of get that. And then she did try to go. She rushed into a party, which that scene was so fucking funny.
Yep.
And she rushed into the party and she's like, we have to do a seance. And everyone's like, bitch, leave. We're trying to get our crunk
on. Diana's all making out with some guy. And she's like, come here, bitch. And she's like,
and the guy's fingers roll. What?
God. Yeah. Now I'm grossed out. That sent chills from my head.
I've never seen a party scene like that where two people just casually pick them up and just escort them physically.
Yeah, well,
the
you had to get rid of her, man.
Yeah.
That scene in particular, when she leaves the party and is walking across and then it sort of converts to her walking onto the pages of that book.
Yeah.
I thought that was fantastically done.
Wait, what?
Yeah. She leaves the party and as she's walking... The floor turns into the pages from the Ouija.
Oh, I mean, the occult encyclopedia, the occult
book. Yeah, it's a really well done little scene. It's really effective.
The main question I have from this movie is, where do I get a copy of that encyclopedia of the occult? Because dude, I want it. I want it bad. Those things were rad.
To buy it in Spain with one of those little Ouija boards.
Yeah.
Apparently, just at a magazine stall.
I guess. Fuck, I wanted one of those.
Now, that book, instead of the Babadook book, I would buy.
Yeah.
Because that would be rad.
I did get kind of a Babadook vibe from this, too. Like, halfway through, I thought... No, you're looking at me all weird.
Did you see me roll my eyes?
Yeah. No, I just mean, like, I had that feeling like they were going to cop out and it wasn't actually going to be demons. It was going to be, like, physical manifestation of something.
Well, no, that's the whole point.
I don't think that was the whole point.
Really?
No, because... First of all, well, what do you mean?
Well, so what I'm getting at is that anything that would happen in the movie, she was doing to herself.
I could
well,
see that.
She was doing but under the kind of under the that. Under
The tutelage possession of the demon,
the possession of the demon.
Yeah, no, more so. What I mean is, I think that her mind was concocting the image of the demon. For me.
So you don't think that there was actually a demon? You thought it was
no,
her?
No, I think at least in my head, I think that she was quote unquote infected with something and had everything was in her mind.
Because there was that scene where she was like choking her little sister and her sister's like, why are you choking me? She's like, wasn't me. You can't see it, but it was one of these things. And then. But that doesn't really explain all the noises and the shaking and stuff during
the
seance.
But she's
the
only one. She's the only one who sees that.
No, it's not. The neighbor comes up and says, "Are you guys fucking running around and doing all that shit?" And like, blah blah blah. And there's a black stain on my roof. She's like, "Where'd the black stain come from?"
Oh yeah, you're right.
Plus, whenever
unless that's just pee soaking through the ceiling.
And plus, whenever the detective comes, well, then why is it on everyone's bed?
Because they just
unless the sister's doing it.
Well, yeah, but why? Like, I mean, that's
she's
crazy.
But then also too, when the detective bursts in at the end, she's literally floating. And then drops. like, and he sees that.
Yeah. To be fair, she looked like she was holding on to like a desk and backbending, and then just fell over.
No, she was floating in midair.
Well, I'll have to see that scene again because I could see both, but I didn't really look at it all that closely.
At first, I thought she was kind of like coughing blood at that same time, but then when she actually fell, it didn't look like there was any blood on her giant mouth.
Well, also too, but if that's the case too, then what was the nun scene?
Oh,
nothing, because she was fucking blind.
Stupid. What was the nun seeing? Absolutely nothing.
Yeah,
absolutely
nothing. No, like, I mean, yeah.
Okay. Statement retracted.
I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying that, like, there is not a lot of evidence to show that. Or I just really don't want it to be that because I'm sick and tired of fucking movies.
They do imply it, but I think there's enough to kind of discredit that.
Well, I think that what they did, so what I got at the end, because she does, she looks in the mirror and she sees, like, oh, she's like, it was, she thought an outside entity was doing it.
She had the love inside her all along.
But she thought an outside entity was doing it when really it was something that was inside of her. So she was choking her sister, but it was under the possession of something else. She was doing all this stuff, but it was, like, it was using her body to do it.
Let's be clear about something. She was possessed by the sun.
The sun?
Because when they're doing the first Ouija board and she asks, like, who are you? Who's there? Like, it circled around. It landed on the sun. And they said, who's there? And it, like, wildly circled the sun and then landed on the sun.
It's the morning star, dog.
Yeah, homie.
Okay.
It's the sun. It's the morning star.
The
light was in her all.
No, it's another name for Satan.
Okay. Well, yeah, the fallen angel, the morning star.
But it was
you
the sun.
You sound like fucking Lucifer, man.
But it was the sun.
The big yellow one's the sun.
Sorry.
Maybe the sun was the dog, and the dog was Trickster.
In the multiverse, it is.
Can you imagine just fucking the Cloverfield monster coming out of the closet?
They're coming out of her mouth.
Yeah. What if they splice her into the Cloverfield movie at the very end, going, wah?
Maybe she was the one who was inside the person's body when the worms exploded.
Ah. We that figured it out. And every
the mattress is the portal.
She was worms the whole time.
Those are the demons that were opened up.
Yeah.
Gosh, what a magical movie.
I'm kind of surprised this didn't get co-opted by the fucking
Jesus. Yeah, man.
Give Blumhouse time.
I have to say, I'm surprised that the director did a movie like this again, because Rec has that same sort of. He took kind of like a well-known horror trope, zombies, and sort of just try to do his own spin on it. I think he was much more effective the first time around.
Yeah. Well, that movie was. I mean, it had a bunch of tension. It was graphically disturbing. Mm-hmm. Everything about that movie was better than everything about this movie.
I cannot disagree with you. Yeah.
I still really like this. I mean, even with all the, I understand it follows a lot of tropes. I totally get that. That being said, I still think it was an effective movie for what it was trying to do. And I did think, going back to the direction, not just that scene where she's running and it's like, then it turns into the pages. There's a ton of really, really great like scenes where I had to stop and go, I love the direction of this movie.
Yeah, there's very smart directing and very intelligent cinematography. Yeah. It's very well done.
It seem like they used different cameras at different times? Like, did you guys ever get the feeling the way it looked was different?
I don't know.
Because there were certain scenes like, When the little kids are hiding in the bedroom and she first experiences the hands, it almost looks like it's shot on like a little handheld camera. Like it looks slightly more like a home video than it does, you know, the
that glossy. That may be the director kind of going back on what he knows, because that Wreck very much had that feel to it. It's very, you know, handheld
maybe it's
camera.
Just like a, this is the alternate reality kind of deal where the demons, well, I mean, not alternate reality, but you know, where the demon is interacting, it looks slightly different.
Oh, demon cam.
Yeah. I don't want to suppose that I know a fucking shit ton about directing and stuff like that. But as somebody who's watched a fuck ton of movies, there's an effect that a director tries to do when something's like frenetic and like frantic. They normally will use a handheld because it's something that it adds a lot of action to the scene. Mm-hmm. Whereas something where it's like trying to
more build dread or add like atmosphere or something like that, they'll use a Steadicam or like a zooming cam or something like that. So, I mean, I think that that's something that
I'm sure they use multiple cameras.
There's multiple kinds of cameras and shit that I'm sure they use to get different feelings and stuff like that. The other thing I love about this movie too is the fucking score.
Mm-hmm. God damn, I loved it.
Yeah.
See, I thought it was weird that they bounced from like Exorcist type, you know, synth music like to popular music.
Yeah, it's
like Maná and fucking Heroes de Silencio.
I was going to say all the music in this movie
is period.
Well, right? is
period.
Anything that's not the score is Heroes de Silencio. It's all, and she like even wore like the Heroes de Silencio shirt. She had like a bunch of posters up on the wall. But everything that was the only like band.
Well, the first band was Maná.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah.
Alia pointed that shit out right away. She's dude, like, every, fucking Maná.
Every Latina girl has a spot for Maná in their heart, man. God damn.
I'm surprised Menudo isn't. That would have been super 90s. But I actually liked it because it, like, with the score, they did kind of go from like creepy organ to like synthy type shit. You know what I mean? They kind of hopped around depending. Yeah. I liked that. I actually liked it a lot.
Music. I think music was very well done. Even, you know, I don't really like that band in particular, but the songs that they picked were very well. Very well done.
Speaking of songs too, I think it adds a real humanistic element. At the very end when they're trying to do like the mantra to like close the Ouija board.
Yeah, they go to a commercial.
That was so good.
That was super adorable. Yeah.
I really, really liked that. It added an almost Amblin-esque twist.
That commercial was very catchy too.
It was very catchy. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know what I will say this. There's not a whole lot to talk about. I mean, in terms of things happening, you know, they're kind of sort of long scenes that happen, but not much happened in those scenes, but still very, very effective. Yeah, man, I if you even have a touch of Catholic guilt, this will be right up your alley.
Yeah, I don't think my hand could shoot up fast enough when you say that. That's
I don't. I know I should, but I don't.
And I almost wonder if that's why it plays as well in You and Me.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah,
probably. That's why I think The Exorcist wasn't effective for me the first time I saw it.
Right.
But like now that I went back and watched it later, I could appreciate it just for what it was at the time and like how well the movie did. And I think that's a big part of it. I mean, exorcism movies never really do much for me. And they always tend to follow a formula, you know, it's... Somebody gets possessed, crazy shit happens, person either gets cured or dies, and then the demon moves on to someone else.
Is there any possession movies that don't do the creeping up? Where you know what I mean? Like
we start possessed?
Well, more so I mean,
just
like,
need to unpossess them. Yeah.
More so because like most possession movie, like it seems like the demon powers up.
Ah, gotcha.
Is there any possession movies where demon goes in and it's like balls out from the get-go?
Constantine.
Yeah. Kinda. That's a good flick.
That is a really good Constantine. Flick. I don't give a fuck. I know a lot of people complain, myself included. They're like, it's not like the comic book. And I'm like, yeah, but if you give it some distance, it's just a really good kind of action-y.
Isn't it really long?
It's like 2 hours.
Yeah, it's super fun though. When Ronnie and I went on vacation like a bunch of years ago, and on the cruise ship, that was one of like four movies that was playing on this one station. So I think we watched Constantine maybe six times during this trip. It was awesome. I know. I loved it.
Sounds like you guys had a great trip.
Well, when we were, you know, when we were like kind of like
post-coitus.
And also third reference to Bush this episode, Gavin Rosdale.
Gavin Rosdale.
Wait, he was the demon?
He's Bartleby. One of the demons.
His name is Bartleby, right?
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant in this.
No.
I was like, he was in that black body suit?
That was in the, Bartleby. God. But yeah, so for me, it's a highly recommend. I mean, if I don't think that we've said anything that necessarily would spoil the movie if you haven't seen it, if you've gotten this far.
Yeah.
I'm
going to give it a 7 out of 10. I like it a lot.
That's a good score. I think that's pretty appropriate.
I'm going to give it a Chris Franco rating. It's fine.
It's a movie.
That's your score. What are you talking about?
No, but that's Chris's. It's fine. This movie was fine.
This movie was fine.
Matt Smith, 2018. All right. Well, with that said, hey, Matt Smith, what's up with the Patreon?
Patreon is how you can help us continue doing this show by donating a little bit of money every month. You can donate as little as a dollar. You get bonus content. You get the episode before everybody else. You can help us pick the movies. This was not a Patreon pick. But yeah, all kinds of awesome stuff. And it helps us do this show because it ain't expensive, but it ain't free either. So go to patreon.com/
I like that that's your podcast. Line now.
Or you can help us out by buying a shirt or a hat or anything at whogoestherepodcast.storeenvy.com. And if you're in San Diego, come out to the Ugly Dog Pub on Saturday, March 31st. We're having another Frights and Pints 13. Swallow this.
And we have a flyer that we're going to be releasing.
Awesome flyer for the movie Evil Dead 2. Another t-shirt that won't sell.
I'll buy one. This one will probably sell.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
But yeah, Saturday, March 31st, prizes, free pizza, screening of Evil Dead 2, and lots and lots and lots of beer.
Saying maybe follow the Rat King Co's fucking Instagram. And
well, we'll blast them out when we have everything ready to go. But yeah, go to Rat King Co on Instagram. You know, the guy's a working father.
Yeah.
Give him some money for Christ's sake. Well, that's it. That's episode.
What about the links?
155.
All of our social media is at Who Goes There Podcast. Facebook is Who Goes There Podcast.
And Twitter is
Instagram Who Goes There Pod. And Bumble and Twitch
Grindr
and YouTube are all Who Goes There Podcast. Letterboxd and Twitter are at Who Goes There
Podcast. Our Grindr is actually a collective account, so you could get one of us, all three of us. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Just depending on how you feel.
Yeah.
Or how we feel. Yeah.
But just make sure that if you summon us, you say goodbye.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, I feel squishy.
Because otherwise, we're going to walk with you.
We're going to haunt you.
Yeah.
All right. That's the Who Goes There Podcast for episode 155. We'll see you next back, ghosts. Losers. And I hate your friggin' guts.
I'm not going to worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever going to be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.